They would not be married until Michaelmas, wrote Jane Austen in 1811, in Sense and Sensibility. Michaelmas? What? When? Michaelmas, literally Michaelmas, is the celebration of St. Michael and All Angels. And in a world where her readership could be assumed to know what Michaelmas was and when it occurred, this was her way of simply saying that the summer wedding had been postponed by 3 months. English universities still refer to the autumn term, the autumn semester, as Michaelmas term. In the good old Church of England, St. Michael and All Angels, Michaelmas, remains the only feast other than that of Saints Peter and Paul, June 29th, on which ordinations take place. But as to the religious meaning and the celebration of Michaelmas, few people know or even care these days. A probable importation into early Hebrew religion from Mesopotamia, angels remain theologically ambivalent figures in both Judaism and Christianity. An example of this ambivalence is they appear late in Genesis 2 as the angel guarding the gate of Eden to prevent Adam and Eve's return. Yet in the stages of the creation story in Genesis 1, they're not mentioned. Are they part of the created order, or are they pre-existent, as God is pre-existent? You see how angels represent a rather complex theological conundrum, while they nevertheless occupy a significant role in human spiritual imagination as divinely commissioned messengers and intermediaries. Angels do not appear unless they're bearing a message from God. The word angel simply means messenger. There are 273 angelic appearances in the Bible, but only 4 angels are specifically identified, all referred to as archangels: Gabriel, chief messenger, Raphael, chief healer, and Michael, chief warrior. And of course, the infamous Lucifer, variously known as Satan, the dragon, or the devil. On September 29th, the church celebrates St. Michael and All Angels, the Feast of Michaelmas. Revelation 12:7-9 introduces us to the Archangel Michael. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. The dragon is a metaphor for Lucifer or Satan, and depictions of St. Michael invariably show him with his foot on the dragon's head as he slays it with his sword. Note, depictions of St. George also have him slaying a dragon, but the main difference to look for is that George is always riding a horse, and Michael always has wings. According to Gallup, 75% of Americans profess belief in angels. In contemporary America, more people believe in angels than believe in God. Angels represent a longing in today's otherwise increasingly secular world for a quality of enchantment that, since the Enlightenment, has been banished from Western spiritual imagination. Personally, I value angels as powerful imaginary metaphors. But theologically, I must confess that I do not believe in angels, at least in the sense that I believe in God. But that does not mean that I have no use for them. Angels feature prominently in Christian prayers, poetry, literature, and hymnody. often associated with protection, guardian angels. The Christmas carol, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear, in the third verse goes, "Yet with the woes of sin and strife, the world has suffered long. Beneath the angel's strain have rolled 2,000 years of wrong. And man at war with man hears not the love song which they bring. Oh, hush the noise, ye men of strife, and hear the angels sing." In today's general perception of a dangerous world, the idea of angelic protection feels greatly comforting. In the cold, hard world of secular materialism, it's a comfort to know someone or something is looking out for you. See you in church or online this Sunday.